Good morning. Could you please turn to Psalm 72 of Solomon? Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. And amen.
Psalm 72 is Solomon's coronation psalm, in which he petitions God for his reign to be marked by divine favour and holy virtue. But as the psalm progresses, it becomes apparent that the kingdom that is described is far greater than Solomon's would ever be. What emerges is a vision of one greater than Solomon, a vision of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The description of his kingdom is similar to the messianic prophecy in Isaiah 11, which means that we can regard Psalm 72 as a messianic psalm, which points to Jesus Christ. So we have two kingdoms, which we need to keep in focus as we look at this psalm. Solomon's 40-year reign over Israel, which was temporal and regional, and Christ's reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is eternal and universal, over all the earth. Whilst the prayer is for Solomon and his kingdom, the Holy Spirit is prophesying of the coming Messiah. So if we, in verses 1 to 4, we see a just and righteous reign. The psalm begins with Solomon asking God to bless him as the King of Israel with wise judgment so that he can dispense justice among the people, defending those who are afflicted and caring for the children of the needy. This is similar to Solomon's request when God appeared to him in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3, when he asked God, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" But when Solomon prays in verse 4 that he will crush the oppressor, we see the appearance of Jesus, for this is a reference to Genesis 3:15, when God curses the serpent in the Garden of Eden and tells him he will be crushed by the Messiah. God declares to the servant, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is in anticipation of Jesus overcoming Satan by his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So Solomon's praying not just for his own reign, but whether knowingly or not, for the coming Messiah. In verses 5 to 7, we see an eternal reign. Solomon prays for an unending reign through all generations. But this looks way beyond Solomon, a mortal man, to the eternal reign of Christ. It is Jesus who will reign forever. As it says in Revelation, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Jesus will be like rain watering the earth in the sense that he pours out his blessing on his people, refreshing and renewing them. The scriptures often link a righteous and just government with blessing upon the land and its produce. The righteous nation will flourish and be prosperous as God blesses the people through the king. This was true for Solomon in a limited way, but it is in a far greater way points to Jesus, the sustainer of the universe. As it says in Hebrews, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After 40 years, Solomon's reign would be over, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is from eternity past to eternity future. In verses 8 to 11, we see a universal reign. Solomon prays that his kingdom would extend from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth, and that all kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. What begins as a desire for his own reign becomes a vision of a greater son of David, whose dominion would be far greater than David and Solomon's. It is a vision of the universal kingdom of Christ, who will be over all the kings of the earth. As it says in Revelation, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. When Solomon says his enemies will lick the dust, it is also another reference to God cursing the serpent in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:14, God tells the serpent, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Isaiah also prophesied that the kings of the earth would lick the dust at the feet of the Messiah when he wrote, kings will be your foster fathers, their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. The glorious coming reign of the Messiah would be far greater than Solomon could ever have imagined for his own earthly reign over Israel. And then in verses 12 to 14, we see a compassionate reign. The justice and righteousness that Solomon prayed for and aspired to, taking pity on the weak and the needy, would be perfectly fulfilled by Jesus, who came to redeem the souls of the poor and the victims of violent oppression. As Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, quoting from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Unfortunately, Solomon's own reign did not live up to his aspirations. And after his death, the Israelites complained to his son Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12, saying, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. In Solomon, we see failed aspirations, and he's not living up to the high calling of his kingship. But through Jesus' obedience to God the Father, we see the fulfillment of the divine plan of salvation. And even now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. In verses 15 to 17, we see an exalted reign. The words of Solomon, may people ever praise him and bless him all day long, have been fulfilled because Jesus Christ is blessed in all nations all over the world, and prayers for him and his kingdom are made in every part of the earth every day. The gold, corn, and fruit that are described are all symbols of prosperity And under the reign of Christ, when he returns to the earth, there will be every conceivable kind of prosperity for his people. When Solomon proclaims all nations will be blessed through him, it is also a reference to God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God promised to bless all the families of the earth through Abraham with the incarnation of the Messiah. This anticipates the salvation of the Jews and the Gentiles throughout the world. The Old Testament believers looked forward to the cross, just as we as believers look back to the cross. Solomon's prayer is therefore a reminder of God's promise and points to Jesus, who was the fulfillment of that promise when he died on the cross for all believers, both Jew and Gentile. And then in verses 18 to 19, we have a closing doxology of praise. The psalm concludes with praise to God and a longing for the whole earth to be filled with his glory. These were indeed high aspirations, but sadly, Solomon turned away from the Lord in his later years, as recorded in 1 Kings. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. After Solomon, the monarchy in Israel quickly fell into decline. There were some good kings, but many bad ones, and the glory of the kingdom departed. So this glorious king in Psalm 72, therefore, can only be our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus commissioned his disciples to carry the gospel through the world, creating a universal kingdom as prophesied in this psalm. Whilst we can see elements of this kingdom in our world today, we will not see its full glory until Christ returns. Now the kingdom comes through suffering, but one day the suffering will end, and as believers we will share in the fullness of Christ's blessing and glory forever. These visions of earthly blessing will be fulfilled in the perfection of the new heaven and the new earth, the eternal state, as revealed in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So what can we learn from this for our lives today? One of the key points for us is how this psalm points to Jesus and is a reminder that we should always be looking for Jesus when we study the Old Testament. And the other key point is that as we put into practice what the Lord is teaching us through his word, so our own lives should be pointing others to Christ. Amen.